Jesus went off to a deserted place where he prayed. A deserted place. What is he being rude? Is he being aloof? Getting away from those that annoy him? Unsocial? Could be a little misleading. A deserted place kind of conjures up some of those things for me. But he went to a deserted place for a very specific reason, where he prayed. Where he prayed. Saint Therese, the little flower, she describes prayer quite poetically. She describes it as a surge of the heart, a simple turn towards heaven. For myself, something very more concrete and practical, conversation with God, conversing with God. And just as conversation with God becomes more meaningful and memorable when distractions are at a minimum, so too does Jesus go off to a deserted place, not because he's antisocial or rude or aloof, but to minimize the distractions. If we want to have a real meaningful conversation, it's pretty difficult to do if I'm looking at my phone while you're talking to me. Right? I mean, we could have a conversation that way. But you would eventually say, you know, Father, when you've got some time to kind of lock into me, we can continue the conversation. Or maybe you'd tell me to just kind of walk out and come in through the door with a different attitude, with my phone off. Maybe you'd ask me to do that. I don't know. But you know what I mean? We want to minimize the discussions, if the distractions, if it's going to be meaningful. You can still have a conversation. It can still be pleasant, enjoyable, and memorable. But the meaningful conversation, the deeper stuff, becomes ever more possible when the distractions are minimized. So in my own more meaningful prayer, yes, I converse with God throughout the day, and I'm grateful for that. I also have a moment in the day, if not a couple of moments, when I try to go a little bit deeper. And in order to do that, on my part, I have to minimize those distractions. So the phone can be turned off. It's the craziest thing, but a couple minutes later, the world will be pretty much the same. I'm not quite as indispensable as I think I am. I mean, it just might be a couple of minutes. I find that a space is really important to me, and I have a prayer space in my home. And I have a crucifix that really helps me to focus when my mind is just kind of whirling. And I pray through that, not to it, through it, helps me to focus. Sometimes I'm over here at church, not sometimes, pretty often actually, and off hours, and there's nothing like an empty church with just the Lord. And what I find when I pray, it's not so much me showing up and saying, "Here I am, Lord, aren't you proud of me?" But there's a sense of God saying, "I've been waiting for you." The deserted place helps to make that prayer, that conversation with God, that surge of the heart, the simple turn towards heaven, even more powerful. When I pray, I never learned it as an instruction. I learned certain prayers at the youngest of ages. It was a while before I had greater understanding of what some of those words meant, but I learned the prayers and prayed the prayers as I was taught at the youngest of ages. But I find if I step back, I can sort of identify, I would call it a movement that happens in my conversation with God. That typically my conversation after going to a deserted place, my conversation begins with thanking God. Thanking God for blessings, for goodness that are very timely, something that has happened earlier in the day or something that happened yesterday. Very timely to just acknowledge God through gratitude. And then I want to ask God to help me to see more clearly and to understand more completely what He wants me to say, what He wants me to do. That prevents me from just sort of vomiting all over God with everything that's about me. I'm just being honest. I have a tendency to do that sometimes. So to ask Him, what is it? What is it that you want me to say and do? And then I do a quick review of the day so far, or maybe yesterday. How do those words and actions of mine in the quick review line up with how God wants me to speak and act? And inevitably, that leads me to be aware of a disconnect in some instances. And I just beg God to forgive me for those times when those words and those actions were not what He deeply desired me to say and to do. And then finally, I commit and I recommit, always with His help, with His help that cannot be stressed enough in my own life. With His help, I commit to foregoing those things that aren't pleasing to Him and beneficial to others. I commit to living sincerely the way He wants me to live. And I find that when I'm conversing with God, that movement of prayer happens regularly. Sometimes it might be in a couple of minutes. Other times it might be more extended. I bring that prayer to a close, the conversation to a close, typically by praying the Our Father. That was one I learned at a pretty young age. But it's really important that Our Father isn't rattled off. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Rattled off. You know, like set a new record for speed. Get it in. I don't want to leave that way. Yeah, I was thinking, I come from a family. We're the kind of family that we announce we're leaving and then 45 minutes later we're putting on our coats. Do you know some of those people? You might not want to invite me over if you want me out the door. You know, but I want that kind of sense to conclude my prayer. I'm not saying it has to be 45 minutes more, but I don't want to just dash out the door in the time that I've had with God. So I want to really pray the Our Father. I don't want to say it. I want to pray it. And then, of course, concluding that prayer with the great way that we conclude all of our prayers, with that single word, Amen, which is an exclamation point, if you will. So be it, the ancient word means. So be it, Lord, that our time together, Your love for me, Your instruction for me, Your assistance for me. So be it that it happens. Lord God, make it so.